Monday. I always have this, that I have kind of a tradition in preaching, is that I usually start a series, a new series, after Labor Day. And so I'm not going to start my new series today. I'll wait until next week. Let's start a new series through the epistles of John. There's a lot there that we can learn from for today and in the church. So if you want to be reading through the epistles of John, very short little books, but it won't be a short series. Because we're going to look at the verses individually. But for next week, if you want to be prepared for that, if you read 1 John chapter 1, just the first four verses, and concentrate on that, that's what I'm going to be speaking about first. Tony actually gave me the idea for this message today. Remember when we've been talking about Bible characters, and some of the Bible characters we don't often think about. You know, we've talked about Methuselah, and we've talked about some of the individuals that David encountered, specifically David's counselor and advisor, and who he was and who he was related to, that we'd often not think about. Today I want to talk about another person. And this has to do in the book of Joshua, if you turn to Joshua chapter 7. One of my favorite, I love music, and one of my favorite groups, Southern Gospel groups, is the Cathedrals. And years ago, they came out with this song, which a guy wrote, and it was a popular song for them, Southern Gospel song, entitled, Sin Will Take You Farther. The lyrics go like this. As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face, but God in his goodness has let me return to share with his children this lesson I've learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasures and promises, sin took control and leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly taking control. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Which brings us to this character that we just kind of slide by when we read about him and what he did. But it has to do with him and the whole people of God. And it has to do with people today. And it has to do with the church. And it even has to do with nations. If you turn to Joshua chapter 7, I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll delve into this. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Hoven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and they spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up. About 2,000 or 3,000 men need go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men from the people went up there. But they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent, so the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord. Until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemy? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemy, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning then you shall come near by your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families. And the family which the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel." So let's stop there for a minute. Need the picture. Children of Israel come into the promised land. God tells them that he will defeat the people before them. God says he will give Jericho into their hands. He does that, doesn't he? The people defeat Jericho. Now they come up against Ai. The next city. We defeated Jericho. We can defeat this little city. And they tried to do it. But you see, as Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 34, sin is a reproach to any people. Whether that be individually, whether that be in the church, or whether that be nation. See? Sin is a reproach. When sin came among the people of God, the children of Israel, the Israelite, they could not continue to be victorious. Who destroyed Jericho? God did. Right, Jeff. God did. The people didn't, did they? Why, if Joshua had his way, when God told him what he wanted them to do, Joshua was probably thinking, really, Lord? You want us to do this? And Jericho's being destroyed? What about my wife? What about my army? What about my soldiers? We can take Jericho. And you imagine thinking that. Doesn't tell us that, but you imagine thinking that. We can take it. But God said, no, this is how I want you to do it. I want you to take a full week, 7 days. And you and your army, the people, you march around that city. And then when I tell you to, you blow the trumpets. And the walls will come down, won't they? Can you imagine Joshua and his lieutenant thinking, what? God wants us to do that? How are we going to take the city like that? But it happened, didn't it? The walls came down because Yahweh did it. God did it. Then they could overcome the people once the walls were down. But God's the one that did it. He had the people do it. So now all that remained, Jericho was taken. Now, many people think the idea that Jericho was taken first, the city of Jericho was taken first, that was most important. But you know it wasn't? Jericho was the first city to be taken, but Ai was more important, even though it had less people. You know why? Because Ai was at the top in the land. It was a smaller fortress, but it was at the top. So it's like they could watch all over the whole land. That's why it was more important. God had them to do that second. And you see, once they took Jericho was taken, and once Ai was taken, then the rest of the country, the hill country there, would be theirs. But God will give it to them. So they begin their attempt to do that. But unlike what we read in Joshua chapter 6, chapter 7 tells us a tale of defeat, doesn't it? They were defeated. But notice Joshua sends guys to go look at Ai. They come back and they say, oh, this is just a small place. It's just a small fortress. Don't send too many. Just send about 2,000 or 3,000. And we got it made. So they do that. But what the scripture tells us here, 36 men lost their lives. And the rest of them hightailed it out of there. What happened? Look at verse 3 there, chapter 7. Think about the psychological condition of Joshua and his army there and the children of Israel. They had a lot of confidence, didn't they? Because they'd overcome Jericho. Well, this AI is not, it's no big thing. We can take it. Thus Jericho was taken, so we can take Ai. God gave us Jericho, he'll give us Ai. But think of this. What motivated them? Was it faith? Was it faith in Yahweh that motivated them that they could take Ai? Or perhaps it was pride. What you think? Faith or pride? So what we learn is they were utterly defeated. 36 killed, and the rest were chased out of town. Why the defeat? Did they not have God with them? Didn't they have Yahweh? Weren't they of the Lord? Were they people of God? Didn't they have the law? Didn't they have what Moses gave them? Didn't they have the ark of God? Didn't they have the power of God, the supernatural power of God? Didn't they not have all the same? Did they not have the leader that God gave them? Joshua? Didn't they have all those things? Sure they did. They had all those things, didn't they? So why couldn't they take Ai? Was it not true that Abraham's covenant was being carried out and God, Yahweh, would give it to them? Well, they didn't even celebrate the Passover. What about that? What about the Ark of God? You see what Joshua does? Joshua, he gets on his face before the Ark of God. Because he believed, that's what the other people did, that that's where his power, God's power was. Can you imagine? You read verses 6 through 9 there, and you can see the tremendous upheaval that was in the minds of the people of what happened when they were defeated. Did you see that and see what Joshua did? Joshua tears his clothes, literally, and he falls to the earth on his face before the ark until the evening, a long time. Both he and the elders of Israel. And then they literally put dust on their heads because of what had happened. And they're crying out. And you see what Joshua said? God, Yahweh, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Why did you bring us here? To give us into the hands of the Amorites? Why we would have been better beyond the Jordan? Why did you do this? See what Joshua and the people were thinking? Were they looking to themselves? No. They were blaming who? God. But notice how God responds, verses 10 through 12. God says to Joshua, rise up, get up. You can imagine how he says that to him. He doesn't say, I don't believe he says, Hebrew doesn't bring that out either. I don't believe he said, rise up, Joshua, I got something to tell you. No, I believe God said, rise up! And then he says, in the Hebrew, God, Yahweh, is very brash here. He's very brusque. He says, why is it that you have fallen on your face? And then God tells them. God doesn't beat around the bush. God said, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban. Now you have to read through Joshua 6 there, what God tells them, what they're supposed to do with things. So you see what was under the ban. And have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they also have also put them among their own things. In other words, they hid them. So God says, you want to know the reason why, Joshua? It's not me. It's not because I couldn't defeat Ai for you. Do that with you? No. God says, therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies. Why? Because they have become accursed in his eyes. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. And so again, God tells Joshua, rise up. Consecrate the people, and tomorrow, God says, you will come near to me in the morning by your tribes. And God says, by lot, I will take the tribe that is involved. Then I will not only take the tribe that is involved, I will take the family that's involved. And then I will take the person that is involved. So you will see. So there was only one explanation. Sin was among God's people. What God was trying to tell them is that you cannot transgress what I tell you and walk with me. Brothers and sisters, I believe that that is true with nations today, just as it was then. If we have people who say that they are following him, but yet they're not walking with him and refuse to walk with him in his ways, then that's a reproach to him. We have those within our country, within our midst, who would say, it's all right to kill little ones, to abort them, what have you. That's all right. But that's what God was against Manasseh for killing his own children, sacrificing them to Moloch. We have our Molochs today. But yet there would be those who would say that they're of God and that God blesses those things.
America's a Christian nation.
Supposedly. It never has been, and it's not. Not fully Christian nation has. That there are those who say that God blesses those things. Not too long ago, I heard a minister in our own area in Seattle saying that God blesses those kinds of things. And that those are a blessing before him. Have they really read this? You see, to me, it is true with nations today just as it was then. Do we not think that God is concerned about his world today and about nations today, about people, about churches who say that they follow him? You think he's not concerned about those things? I think he is. Sin is a reproach to any people. And that's what was the problem with the children of Israel then. They could not continue to transgress against what God had told them to do and walk with him. People, nations can't. Same thing today. Churches cannot transgress against what God's word said and think that God's going to continue to bless them and to walk with them. He won't. And it only takes. This is the lesson from Achan. It only takes one individual to upset things. And it affects all. So, what was it? Achan's sin. Verse 16 following. So Joshua arose early in the morning and brought Israel nearby tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Notice that. The tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah near, and he took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought the family of the Zerahites near man by man. And Zabdi was taken. He brought his household near man by man, Zabdi's household. And Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it." So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. So Achan had taken those things. He coveted things. God said they were under the ban. That meant they were devoted to him. Supposed to have been his to take care of. Achan coveted them. He desired them. And it's listed here for. What is that? So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. Behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. They took them from inside the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel. And they poured them out before the Lord. What was it Achan took? He stole the first fruits that belonged to God. Those were the things under the ban. God says he stole them. God said the people stole from him. What's one of the commandments that they were given? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. But you see, Achan had an overwhelming desire to take something. And that led Achan to disobey God. Because he had that overwhelming desire to take something. Now today, many people, and many people in church, many Christians can make shipwreck of their faith because of that. Because they have an overwhelming desire to have and to have what they want. God says, verse 13, when he says to rise up and consecrate, he is saying, sanctify yourselves, which means to separate. Separate yourselves for a purpose. God says the people must be sanctified. But then, what's the outcome of all that? It's this. As Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Wages of sin is death. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. Your sin, you see, had two parts to it. You see, Joshua and the others could not understand what was going on, what was happening. But God knew, didn't he? Many people today, as far as in the church and stuff is concerned in the world, don't understand a lot of things that are going on. But guess what? He does. And he understands the reasoning behind it. So God points out what the problem is. And Achan explains. But you see, Achan thought nobody knew. Who was Achan forgetting about? God. God knew. The rest of them, yeah, they didn't know, but God knew. Yahweh knew. You see, that's another thing today that people don't want to believe or accept. That God does know. And that God is concerned about such things. Nothing we do or say, he does not know. For he is omniscient, is innate. He's all-seeing and all-knowing. Now, Achan, where did it begin with Achan? Because you see, where it begins with Achan is where it begins with everybody, as far as sin is concerned. Where does it begin? It begins in the mind. Sin, no matter what it is, begins in the mind. Jesus then tells us, Matthew 15:19, what our Lord said is that those things, it comes from the heart. But Jesus was saying, it begins here. It begins in the mind, and then it comes out. See? That's where it began with Achan. See, that's what James chapter 1, verse 13 says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust, his own desire. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth what? death, spiritual death. But in Achan's case, it led to physical death as well. It's instructive what Achan took. He took two kinds of things. He took silver, 200 shekels of silver, and a big wedge of gold, 50 shekels of it. And then he took, it tells us, a mantle of Shinar. Now, Shinar was in Chaldea. But it was a very expensive thing, you see, that Achan took. And this mantle, garment of Shinar, was a mark of success. And Achan desired it, and he wanted it. And you know why Achan wanted those things? Because Achan thought, as many people would think today, hey, look at me. You see what I got? You can imagine later on he would have dug those things up and shown them around, don't you think? Thought he could get away with that. See, Achan thought of himself as, I got it made. I'm in. Look at what I got. Look at what I took. Well, his sin had two parts. Stealing, simple theft, and then pride. And that's a lesson for us today, you see. Sin can have two parts in a person's life. Sin can have two parts in a church. Taking what belongs to God and taking it for yourself. And by this, what I'm talking about is people. Of those out there who are preaching and what they're preaching and what they're teaching is they're taking God's people. And they're transgressing against God by doing so, by what they're teaching. And what they're getting people to believe. See? But there's also that matter of pride. I think my own personal thing is that a number of these people who are now saying that they're deconstructing themselves from being Christians. To me, I think part of that is pride. We want everybody to know we're not Christian anymore. And this is why. Why? How can we worship a God like we find in the Old Testament? How can we worship a God that destroyed people? What kind of God is that? So, that's one of their reasons. I think it comes down to pride, though. So what was the result? The result of what Achan did was the blessing stopped temporarily. Temporarily, mind you. But the result, if you read further down, what happened? God said, take him up to the valley of Achor. And I want you to burn everything. But I don't want you just to burn materials. I want you to burn Achan and his whole family. That's cruel God, isn't it? Wouldn't that cruel of God to do that? That's what people would say. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, everything. His donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And they didn't burn him. They stoned him. And all Israel stoned him with stones. And then they burned him.
And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that stand to this day, and the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day, which means trouble in Hebrew. See, victory eventually did come. But it was only after God's judgment was carried out. And only after the sin was removed. So let's apply that. And finally, let's apply this to the church. If this is neglected, if this is not taught, if what is contained in here is not taught, or brothers and sisters, our life together as the body of Christ is neglected, God's blessings will stop temporarily until those things are taken care of. You see, sin in a person's life, sin in a church's life, sin in a nation's life will either diminish blessings or will bring those blessings to a halt until it is confessed and God judges it and it is removed. You see, what I learned about some things that I hear today, what's going on in church and with those who are saying that they are no longer Christians and they're deconstructing that their terminology, is this, is that we must learn that sin cannot be dealt with lightly. Is it wrong to do something merely to be accepted? See, for many, that's what it is. Oh, we just want to be accepted. We just want to be liked. That's why we'll go along with all these things, because we just want to be accepted. We just want to be liked. Wasn't that Israel's problem? Whenever they wanted a king, they looked around, we want to be just like them. God said, okay, I'll let you have that. I'll let you have your way that way. And see, it's not that God won't let these things come about and will not let them take place. He will. But what people have to realize is that sin will take you farther than you want to go, more than you want to pay. Because God says, there is consequences afterwards. See, that's why, as our Lord taught, we need to be very careful. And I want to end with this to say this. We also have to, as far as the church is concerned, and we ourselves are concerned, we also need to be careful that we don't think that all weaknesses, that all a weakness in a church, a weakness in one's life, comes because of sin. That's not necessarily the case. Just because a person has a physical or mental weakness does not mean it's sin. It can be. And that's why we have to avoid one part, section of this, and saying that, well, everything that happens is you got sin within you. You got sin within your midst. Not necessarily. Could be because of other factors around. But God, the consequences, God lets. He's not discriminatory concerning that. You see, when we sin,
He knows. When the church no longer follows his pattern, no longer follows what he sets aside, don't people realize that he knows? What's that? Exactly. But he knows. We can't hide from him. No one can. No matter how much they might want to. And judgment at some point will come. So what do we need to do? What do people need to do? They need to do this. They need to confess. They need to repent. They need to turn. I think that, see, that God deals with not just people in the same way today, but he deals with the church in the same way, and he deals with nations that way. And I do believe, not just our country, but numbers of nations in the world are in dire straits because many of them are saying they're following him, but they're not. And God's judging them. Neither say that lightly. But brothers and sisters, we've got to get serious about this. Because we never know. We don't know when he's coming back again, do we? Sometime, I don't say time, because time will be no more. But God's going to say to his son, "Son, now. End it." And he will end it. And then, when he does end it, is he going to give second chances? No. Many people have a mistaken idea that he will give second chances. But that's not what the word says. So we need to be prepared, you see. So let's stand. We're going to sing. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. That's what it comes down to. The lesson of Achan there, wow, to me is that even today, people think they can get away with things. But God knows differently, see?